John chapter 3 and verse 16. Would you turn there in your Bible? You think, oh, I've got that one memorized, so we're going to go on through verse 21. So go ahead and turn in your Bible to John chapter 3, verse 16. We're talking about love here at Grace Community Church, and today we're talking about loving the world. If you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, I'll read this passage to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may clearly be seen that his works have been carried out in God. This is God's word for us today. You may be seated. Has anybody ever heard that verse before? I thought the guy with the big yellow sign was gone. I hadn't seen him in a while. And I was watching a golf match just a couple of months ago, and there he was right behind the guy putting, big yellow sign, John 3:16. If only he could get the rest of this paragraph on that sign, we would understand it better. So today we're going to talk about God's love for the world and our love for the world. Now, we started our discussion of love several weeks ago, and we talked primarily there about God's love for us. We started in the book of Romans, great book of the Bible that's all about the gospel, it's all about God's love, it's all about Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. And it says there in Romans chapter 5 that God's great demonstration of his love for us is that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, while we were yet sinners, and Christ died on the cross for us. That is the demonstration. You want to know, how do I know? How do we know God loves us? Look at the cross of Jesus and you know. That's the demonstration of God's love. But Romans 5 also says that the great experience of the love of God in the life of a person is when God awakens that person to his love, pours his Holy Spirit into that person, and the Holy Spirit then pours into us the love of God. We come to the understanding of the love of God through the power of the Spirit. We have also said in these weeks that love awakens love. So God's love for us, we see it most clearly in the cross of Christ, worked in us by the Spirit of Jesus, awakens in us love for God. We love him because he first loved us. When we come to see that love and understand that love and trust that love, we love him. Jesus said that the great and primary commandment is to love God with our whole being. God loves us. Love God. Jesus went on to say that the second command is to love our neighbor as ourselves. So now Jesus did not delineate between our neighbor in the church and our neighbor in the world when he said that, but that's what I'm doing for the sake of this sermon series. So last week we talked about loving our neighbor in the church from 1 Corinthians 13. And today we come to John 3, and we are talking about loving our neighbor in the world. God's love for the world is what is behind God sending his Son, Jesus, into the world. And as the Father has sent the Son, so the Son, Jesus, sends the church. That's what Jesus said in John 20. And we're called to imitate God. That's a very blunt statement, strong statement. You say, really? Yes. Ephesians 5 tells us that we are to imitate God by walking in love. As Jesus loved and gave himself up for us. So as we look into this passage today, we're going to see very clearly the love of God for the world. But because we're called to imitate God and we're called to follow Jesus, then we're also going to see that we, the church, are to love the world. And we'll close today, and not only today, but this series on love, by seeing how it is we're supposed to love the world. Well, the first thing we see is that God loves the world. Verse 16, it could not be more plain. For God so loved the world. And yet, we really have to stop and think about what he means by that. We should probably start by defining what he means by world. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, those are the first two chapters of the Bible, we hear about the creation of the earth. God created the earth, and God declared that the earth was good. And so we might think, well, okay, the earth is lovely, and God loves the earth, and that's what John 3:16 says and means. But not really. Now, certainly the provision of the earth is one of the ways that God loves the world and the people of the world. But in John, the world, the kind of world that he's talking about, is not primarily Genesis 1 and 2, the earth. It's what happens in Genesis 3. What happens in Genesis 3 is that the people on the earth rebel against God and become under the judgment of God. That's the world that John is talking about. The world is humanity on earth in rebellion against God. The world is fallen and broken. And that rebellion and brokenness of the world certainly does affect the earth. But the world that he's talking about here is humanity as a whole and the individuals of it in rebellion against God. So many people have rightly pointed out that the world, for God so loved the world, is not primarily referring to the bigness of the world. As if to say God's love is so big. If you look at a map, you'd say, oh, the world's big. And if you've ever flown around the world, you'd say the world's big. But once you fly around the world, it's not so big because you flew around it, right? I flew around the world one time. I started in Nashville, ended up in Poland, did some work there in Poland, flew on to Thailand, did some work in Thailand, came on back through California, landed in L.A., came on back to Nashville, around the world. Well, that's a big world. Yeah, but I got around it. So he's not talking about primarily the bigness of the world to say God's love is big. What John means here, he's talking about the badness of the world. So that God's love is so deep and so profound and something that only God can do, which is love the world like this sinful, rebellious world, this humanity that is fallen and broken, these individuals that are rebelling against God. God loves them. This is the world God loves. A world in rebellion, an unlovely world, an unloving world, a world not loving its creator. God loves this world, this kind of world. Now, verses 18 through 20 tell us that the world needs God's love because the world stands condemned before God. This is really interesting. Verse 17. True, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save the world. But why did God not send his Son into the world to condemn the world? Verse 18. Because the unbelieving world is already condemned. The world's not neutral. As if Jesus needed to come into the world and figure out whether he was going to condemn it or not. The world, as we're describing it, this humanity in rebellion against God and the individuals of this humanity in rebellion against God, is already condemned before God. Verse 19 tells us that the unbelieving world is under judgment because it has rejected the light of God in favor of its darkness and its evil. The world is under judgment because it has rejected the lordship of Jesus for its own lordship. And verse 20 tells us that the world doesn't even want to be exposed and revealed as being in rebellion and accountable to God. When we see this clearly, we actually elevate the love of God. Some would say, you know, the world is not that bad, it just needs somebody to show it the way. The world really does want to know God and love God, just needs somebody to tell them. No, the world does not want to know God and love God. The world wants to love itself and its darkness and its evil. But it's this world that God loves. So when you really get in touch with the badness, not the bigness, the badness of the world, it doesn't mean that God no longer loves it because it's so bad. It elevates the love of God to say God does love this world, the one that John is describing as loving darkness over light, as running from the exposure of God. The world in rebellion. Into this world, already under judgment and condemnation, God in love sent His Son. Why? Well, if you'll let your eyes back up to verse 14 that we did not read, but it's there. Jesus is talking about Moses, and he says Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, it's a kind of could be a mysterious saying to us, but here's what he means by that. Why did God send His Son into this fallen, broken, rebellious world? So that this Son might be lifted up. Here's the reference. It has to do with the nation of Israel. And they are wandering in the wilderness. They're followers of God, but they're out in the wilderness, and they start to rebel, and they start to complain, and they start to act as if God's not going to take care of them. And so they call out to God, and they accuse Him, and they say all sorts of things about how God's not going to provide for them. And God, because of their unbelief and their hardness of heart and their rebellion, sends serpents to come and bite them. He's punishing them. And so they go to Moses. Moses, what are we going to do? I mean, we're going to die. Moses goes to God. God, what are we going to do? And the Lord said, I want you to make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. And when the people see it, when the people look to it and see it, they'll be helped and they'll be healed. Now that sounds so strange. And to our minds, it is strange. But what Jesus is saying, is he's looking back to that event, and he's saying that is about this. That, back there, is speaking about this right in front of you, the Son of God in your midst that God sent because He loves this world. And this is the cross where Jesus is lifted up. And when people look to Him, they are forgiven. So why did God send His Son into this world? To be lifted up. And, verse 15, to be believed on. So that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life, may pass from death into life, he says later in John 5. God loved a rebellious world, a world that is under His judgment and under His condemnation because of its rebellion against Him. God demonstrated His love by giving His Son, Jesus, to be the Savior of this world, of those who believe in Him. And this Son, Jesus, as the Savior, being lifted up on the cross, being believed on, gives eternal life to all who do believe. This then is the love of God for the world that's in John 3:16. And that never gets on that big yellow placard that guy's holding up at football games. All that. But that's what it means. Now, we can certainly affirm the love of God for the world and at the same time affirm the rebellious nature of the world and the fact that the world is under the wrath and judgment of God. We can do that. Some think you can't. It's like you got to pick. I've even heard people say, I like a God of love, not a God of judgment. Well, I don't know. I do know. We don't have the ability to say that God must either be a God of love or a God of judgment. God is pronouncing judgment on a guilty world, a world that is already in rebellion against Him. This is not a neutral world. God does not come to a neutral world and say, which do I want you to be? Today I'll love you, you'll be saved. Tomorrow I won't love you, you'll be condemned. That's not the way this works. This is a world already guilty before God, because that's what the world means. And God comes to a world under His judgment with His Son Jesus. And God pronounces that you must believe in the name of His Son Jesus. And He also pronounces judgment as a demonstration of His love so that He can call and warn people in the world to repent and believe on Christ. So this is what it means to say that God loves the world. He loves the world in its sinfulness. He loves the world by sending His Son to pay the penalty of this sin. He loves the world by calling this world out of its darkness into light through faith in Jesus. God's love for the world is to be the church's love for the world. Because God calls the church out of the world so that we might love Him supremely. And because we love Him supremely, love the world rightly. And so the second thing I want us to see is the love of the church for the world. Now, just like we had to define the world, we should probably define the church. What are we talking about here? Jesus, in the Gospel of John, chapters 15, 17, and in other places, defines the church this way. So you need to understand who you are. If you're a Christian, you're part of the church. We need to understand who we are. The church, those who have been chosen out of the world. This is very important. We have been chosen out of the world. Those who believe in God's Son, Jesus. Those who are no longer of this world, but who still live in this world. That's a summary of John 15 and 17 about the nature of the church. Chosen out of the world, believing on God's Son, no longer of this world, but still living in this world. No longer of this world, so no longer in a state of rebellion. No longer under condemnation. And now, eternal life, experiencing the first fruits, the beginning, the taste, the early tastes of that quality of life that God grants to those who believe in Him, His church. We have eternal life. This church, chosen by God out of the world, believing on Jesus, no longer of the world, but still in the world, is to imitate God by walking in love in this world and for the world. That's our point. And as we've done over the past 3 weeks, we've put four questions to these points. Love God, love the church, love the world. We put four questions, the same four questions, and we're going to do it again today. And so we start, question number one, why love the world? We love the world because God in Christ has loved us, the church, out of the world. Jesus said in John 15, you are not of this world, meaning you are no longer in rebellion. You are no longer under condemnation. So He says, you're not of this world. I chose you out of the world. Do you remember after September 11th, you started seeing signs, bumper stickers, flags, and they said two words, never forget. Never forget what was done to us, right? Never forget that we rose from the ashes. Never forget that we will defend our land. Never forget. That's what we said. The Christian has branded over in his mind and in his heart those two words, never forget. Never forget what was done for you. Never forget that Jesus chose us out of the world. Never forget, had God not loved the world, you and I would still be in the world. And just so you'll understand, because see, you can lose this in 5 seconds. Just so you understand, when we say we'd still be in the world, we're not saying you'd still be having fun. We'd still be in the world means we'd still be in rebellion against God and under His righteous condemnation and wrath. If God had not loved the world, we would still be of the world. Never forget this. As we have been loved, chosen, called, redeemed, out of the world, into God, into Christ, so we long for the world to know the love of God in Christ. We long for this. This is the work of God's Spirit in us. I think I'm corrected every day about this. I don't know if you're like me. I'm a justice person. I think we all are. We want justice. I hear what's happening around the world. I hear what's happening to Christians. I hear what's happening to people who aren't Christians. We see it. You know, not only do I watch the news on the national level, I watch the local stuff like early in the morning. You ever watch that stuff, the local stuff early in the morning? You know, I mean, every morning in Nashville, Tennessee, on the news, you hear about somebody getting shot. Every morning. And I'm a justice guy. And I'm, you know, it's like, they need to get what they're due. Let's try these people. Let's go get these people. Let's deal with these people. Let's stop this evil. Let's. Now, don't get me wrong. Totally for the legal system, the justice system. We got to have police. Get it. But almost every single day, I forget that God chose me, saved me, redeemed me, called me out of that very world that I am calling for judgment. Now, you say, wow, Scott, you don't think people ought to go to prison? No, I'm okay with prison because you can come to know Jesus in prison just like you can come to know Jesus outside of prison. But we cannot forget that God has called us out of this world. And that awakens us. We love the world because God still loves the world through the church. He still does. God didn't stop. He didn't stop loving the world after He called you out. He's still, John 20, as the Father has sent me. How did the Father send Jesus? In love. So Jesus said, I'm sending you. How is Jesus sending us? To love the world in the right sense. God in love through Christ has chosen, called, redeemed His church out of the world. And God is changing the church's love. God is changing what we love. He's changing what we love. God is awakening in us love for Him and love for our neighbor. And when He does, God sends us right back into the world in love, in Christ, so that we can take this message of Christ, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish and have eternal life. That verse is for other people too. God didn't stop loving the world with us, with the church. He's still loving a condemned and rebel world out of the world through the church. That's why we should love the church. Well, why don't we love the world? In short, we don't love the world because we love the world. We just love it the wrong way. Do you remember 1 John chapter 2, verse 15? Don't love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Well, which one is it? Do we love the world or not love the world? You see, before we're called out of the world, we love the world, but we love the world, this rebellious, fallen, broken, self-hyphenated world we live in. We love it with self-indulgence. We want to participate in its self-will and its self-lordship. We love the world before God awakens us to his love. And even now as Christians, we feel the pull and the tug of the world in our own hearts. We still at times find ourselves moving into that mindset of loving the world in this self-lordship, self-will kind of way more than God. We simply cannot love the world this way and still love the world God's way. God's love for the world is giving. God's love for the world is sacrificial. God's love for the world is dying. God's love for the world is redeeming, and it is when the love of God shed abroad in our heart, in our hearts, takes root and awakens our love for him and for our neighbor, then it expels love for the world. It expels it, the expulsive power of a new affection. And when that happens, we start loving the world properly, rightly. Jesus loved us out of the world. And Jesus gets the love of the world out of us so that we can live in the world with the love of God for the world. So how do we come to do this? How do we come to love the world? We come to love the world as God works in our lives, as God awakens us. This is one of the great things about the Christian life that is so hard for us to understand, but we have to hold on to it. We are commanded to love God and love our neighbor, and yet we cannot love God or love our neighbor unless God works in our hearts. That's why the Christian faith is what we would call supernatural, spiritual in nature. God must do something in us. And what does God do so that we come to love the world properly? He shows us the true nature of the world. We think, oh, the world, you know, I mean, really, I'm guessing that some of us in this room have even thought this. I came to Christ, he pulled me out of the world, and I haven't had any fun since. As if the world is some good place. God shows us the true nature of the world. What we're talking about is worldliness, the way John describes it here. It is what we have said over and over, what Tozer says, it is self-hyphenated. It is self-willed, self-righteous, self-indulgent, self-lordship, and it's under condemnation. Listen, God didn't call you out of a picnic or a carnival. He called us out of condemnation. This is the kind of world we're talking about. And when he awakens us to see the nature of this, and he shows us the nature of grace. This is how we come to love the world properly. God shows us the nature of grace. The nature of grace is that he chose us. He loves us. He called us. He redeemed us. He changes us. This is the nature of grace. The nature of grace is not that he gives us a little help to continue on the way we were going in the first place. It's he calls us out of condemnation and into the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light. And God shows us the glory of Christ in saving people from the world. If we could have just a glimpse of someone, seeing someone who's never heard the name of Jesus before, and the gospel is spoken to that person, and the power of the Holy Spirit works in that person's heart, and that person rejoices that grace extends to more and more people, that thanksgiving might increase to the glory of God. That person sees the grace of God, gives thanks to God, gives glory to God. This is such a powerful vision. God, in his love, awakens our hearts to this, and we start to want that. We start to want it, and we love the world properly. That's how we come to love the world. Well, how do we love the world? Verse 16, full circle. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. to love the world, we give what God gave. To love the world, we give the world the Son of God, Jesus. To love the world, we give the world the gospel. The world is the only one on earth who can give the world the good news of Jesus. There's a lot of good things given in this world. Lots of good. There's great technology, great medicine. Last week was iPhone week. Wasn't so good, but you know, they'll get there. Hang on. But what do we give? We're the only ones that have the good news of God in Jesus. So we have to give what God has given. The gospel. And here's a parenthesis, okay? There's no competition between giving the world goodness or common good and giving the world Jesus, the Son of God, for salvation. There's no competition in that. People talk all the time. They say, well, you know, which is more important? Should we just go like be good and do good for the common good, or should we be preaching the gospel? Does not God Himself give us food for our stomachs and Jesus for our salvation? You going to ask God that question? What you going to do today, God? Is it food or Jesus? What's your mission? There's no competition between these friends. Galatians 6:10. While you have opportunity, do good to all men. Do good to all men in all forms. Go be a good neighbor. Please be a good neighbor. Go do good work. Please go work well. Tomorrow, get to work on time. Really, smile when you go in. Dress properly. Do your work. Do all of your work. Don't cheat. Don't take too many breaks. Go do good work. Start a good business. That's good. Go start a business. Employ people. Policy folks, work for good policy. At the local level, beyond. Work for good policy. Why? Because it serves people. It's good. Let's go do good schools. Get involved in your school. Let's have good schools. Let's have good neighborhoods. Yes. That is loving the world. That's Galatians 6:10. While you have opportunity, do good to all men. Today's text is John 3:16. There's no competition between these two things. They're friends. But today, John 3:16 is telling us that we are to love the world by giving the world what God gave the world in Jesus Christ. We're to give the world the message of the cross of Jesus, that Jesus died for our sins. We're to give the world the message that Jesus rose from the dead for our life. We're to give the world the message that the world is under the condemnation of God because of its unbelief and its rebellion, but Jesus is the Savior, and if we'll look to Him and repent of our sins, we will have eternal life. This is what we give the world. This is how we love the world. This is the mission of the church. It's what we do collectively. It's your individual initiative. So, you know, someone asked me, they said, Scott, you need to do some applications to your sermons. And I say, well, that's your job. But I'm going to give you some applications. So, you see, I'm going to give you some applications, but really what you have to do is just you have to think. You have to be creative. I mean, you can figure this out. This is our individual initiative. So this week, just ask, am I loving the world? Am I praying? Am I praying for anybody? Am I praying for somebody to come to faith in Jesus? Am I praying for somebody who's sharing Jesus in another culture? Am I praying for my opportunities with my neighbor or my schoolmate, my workmate to share Jesus? Am I praying? Am I giving? Am I supporting? Am I supporting a church? Am I supporting other ministries that are doing the gospel work of getting the gospel to people? Am I involved in loving the world this way? Am I talking? Am I sharing? am I telling people about Jesus? Have I figured out a way to do that through even some common good? But am I involved? What is my initiative? The church is called to love the world the way God loves the world, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking for a month now about love. And I think this would be a great time to just stop. And let me tell you that all of this talk about the love of God is really supposed to be personal to you. Many of you in this room are Christians. Most of you probably are. But every week, there are people here who are not. Listening to what we're saying, trying to understand it, we're talking, you're hearing sermons, people are talking to you about it. So this would be a great time to stop at the end of 4 weeks about the love of God and just say to you, this is supposed to be personal to you. And what we're hoping and what we're saying is that God, through this preaching, through this talking right here, and then God's Spirit moves in a person's heart, hopefully in your heart right now, taking this message of Jesus and stirring it so you start to think it, you start to believe it, you start to say, yes, I see that. That God awakens you. So that's the question. Is it personal to you? So is God awakening you? Is He opening your eyes to see that you are the world? Is he opening your eyes right now to see that you are really in rebellion against God? Now, you don't have to do like really bad things on the outside. It's just that self-will on the inside that says, I want what I want when I want it. It's called self-lordship. That's the world. Is God opening your eyes so that you see that you are of the world and therefore under the condemnation of God? And is God opening your eyes so that you see that Jesus died for your sins, even the one you are most ashamed of right now? He died for you. Is He opening your eyes so that you see that you, this is personal to you, you are being called out of God's love to repent? That means to turn away from your self-lordship that resides in you, and you're to turn and turn to Jesus in faith and trust that what He did on the cross to pay for your sins will actually apply to you, that He'll cleanse you, He'll forgive you of your sins, and He'll make you right with God. Do you see that you are being called to repent and believe and become a follower of Jesus Christ? This is a great time to sort of stop as a congregation and to ask us all to consider that question. Is it personal to us? Now you say, well, what if it's not? What am I supposed to do? Well, there's always a conversation that's had with God when you respond to God in faith. It might be a conversation in your head that you say not with your lips, or it might be one that comes out of your mouth. But it's a response to this awakening in you by God to His grace, to His call to salvation. It's a response of faith. So you actually say that to God. God, I see it. You've opened my eyes to see it. I see my sin, your judgment, Jesus on the cross. I hear you calling me to repent. I repent. I turn from that. I'm turning from that. And I'm trusting you. I'm giving myself to you. I'm clinging to you. I'm holding to the cross. I'm receiving the forgiveness. You see, you just tell Him that. You say, okay, well, when? Now. When God moves on your heart to do so. So, well, do I talk to anybody about it? Sure. Call me. I'll stay around after today. Talk to me. It's a great time to stop at all this discussion of God's love and just say, is it personal to you? You think on that. I hope it becomes so. Our Father.